This past week, SpaceX launched their second test of their Starship rocket, a 16-story tall metal cylinder, as they prepare for launches to the moon and eventually to Mars. Starship serial number 9 launched on Monday. Up it went to 10 kilometers, performing a turn and belly flop maneuver, which was very successful. But as it approached the ground, the ship needed to do a maneuver and turn from horizontal to vertical and slow itself down with its engines. It ended up failing to light both of its engines, and it did not have the thrust to slow itself down. It smashed into the landing pad at over 200 kilometers an hour. Quite dramatic. But this is not really the reason why I bring up the story about Starship, because the launch that happened on Monday was a delayed launch. It was supposed to happen 3 days earlier, but some regulations got in the way. The FAA, the governing body for U.S. airspace, they were not satisfied that SpaceX had followed all of its rules on its first test of Starship. You see, serial number 8 had crashed as well. So, serial number 9 sat on the launch pad for days, unable to fly because the rules said so. Until SpaceX could prove its regulations were up to snuff and all of the safety precautions were met, then they could fly again. And today we have a story about Jesus and his disciples breaking the rules, or at least being called out by the teachers of the law because of their actions. They said, "You can't do that." When the Pharisees saw this, they said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. I mean, you can't remove kernels from husks on the Sabbath. That is against the law. It's work." And I mean, just as SpaceX, they have to follow the rules of the authoritative body, the FAA, well, maybe Jesus should follow the laws of the authoritative body of his day, the teachers of the law. Maybe. I mean, these religious leaders are pointing to real laws, right? And they seem to be the experts. I think that it's very easy for us at this point, knowing the life of Jesus and the opposition that the teachers of the law give him, to write off this story as the law keepers pushing their own dumb agenda on Jesus, that the laws just seem to make no sense. But we need to realize something about those rules that have been put in place. Of course, those rules they're based on the Old Testament law coming from the book of Leviticus. All kinds of rules that would set the Israelites apart as a nation. But, as we know from reading the Old Testament, the people of Israel did not obey those rules, at least not very well. They were sinful. And because they went against God's law, God punished them. They were taken into exile, Jerusalem conquered, the walls torn down, and worst of all, the temple destroyed. Then as we keep on reading in the Old Testament, we have the books of Nehemiah and Ezekiel, who go back and they rebuild the wall and they start rebuilding the temple. This is technically classified as the start of the Second Temple period, starting some 500 years before Jesus. And over the years, the priests and the teachers of the law built upon the laws of God in order that no one in the community of Israel would be able to even get close to breaking the rules that God has set out. For they do not want to be punished by God again. So, now the teachers of the law, they believe that Jesus has a false claim on being a prophet because he's not following those rules. And especially a false claim on being God. And in their eyes, Jesus is also leading the people away from God. In their way of thinking, Jesus must not be God's emissary, let alone the Messiah. The religious leaders are thinking that they are acting in good faith to protect the people, the collective people that have so often in the past been led astray. They have been punished before, and the teachers of the law are not going to let that happen again. So they pile rules upon rules. Israel would not fall and be punished again, not on their watch. Though, as good as the intentions of these laws were, they were not allowing people to draw close to God. They were rules for rules' sake. A sense that the people were serving the laws, not the laws serving the people. And this is especially true around the rules that limit what people could do on the Sabbath. For the Israelites, the law had become a burden. And I think that at times, we too can feel the burden of laws and obligations that come with Christianity. Rules upon rules, piling up just as another thing that we cannot do. Outside of the Christian faith, the perspective looking in is that Christians can't do anything fun. That we are maybe weak and wimpy, falling over ourselves at the slightest thing that may get us in trouble with God. Part of this thinking comes into play with our interpretation of keeping the Sabbath. The Pharisees made rules for the Sabbath, and so do we. One of the rules that I had as a kid was no golf on Sundays. It was something that I accepted, and it was just too close to buying something on Sunday or making someone else do work. These all part of lists of unwritten rules around the Sunday. I mean, we have them in church too, in terms of wearing Sunday clothes and sitting in our own bench in church. And we kind of expect those that regularly go to church that they would pick up on these sort of good old traditions. And maybe, just maybe, we would even hold others to account for some of these somewhat nitpicky rules. Going a bit deeper into our expectations of how to live a good Christian life, I want to talk about purity law. This comes out generally around people who are dating. And purity around dating, it usually has good intentions. No kissing till marriage, or you date the other person with marriage in mind. I mean, keep yourself pure. But if we see these things only as a list of rules, we miss the intent that our actions should be in line with building up a relationship with God. I found this quote of a pastor on the internet. It says this: "One of the preachers at my church bragged in a sermon that he and his wife had never even kissed before they were married, and they only held hands a few times. Basically, he thought he was a paragon of purity and virtue." That's the quote about that pastor. This seems to be a preacher who is boasting in his actions. They need to be careful about what they are following. Are they following God or following rules so that they could look good to others? Now, don't get me wrong. Rules about the Sabbath and rules about good intentions in dating are good and needed. But instead of thinking, I can't kiss them, or I have to be careful with everything that I do, what if we actually respected the other person and respected ourselves and actually built up a healthy relationship? We need to change what we ask. Are we not doing things because we might be punished? Or are we not doing things because they would get in the way of a relationship with Jesus? The actions that come out of each of these thoughts, they may be exactly the same, but the motivation is completely different. Very much like the Pharisees in this passage saying, "You can't do that." Do you feel the burden of the law, rules put on top of the gospel? This is a way of living and thinking, and it's not attractive, and frankly, it's not following the way that Jesus laid out the use for the law. I'm not saying that laws are bad, but following them for following them's sake is a warped perspective of Christian ethics. We know that the law shows us we're sinful and that we need Christ even more. Christianity can't just be a list of things that we cannot do. If that is your Christianity, then you need to check your reasoning to see if you are serving a law or serving God. For the laws that have been put in place by the religious leaders of Jesus' day are actually doing the exact opposite of what the Pharisees intended. The many laws of the Pharisees were making the people serve the law and not serve God. And it is those law-serving Pharisees that challenge Jesus. You must stay in line. You can't do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus' three responses show the Pharisees the true intent of the law, as well as showing them that he has authority over the Sabbath. He responds with a story of David eating holy bread from the temple, with priests who work on the Sabbath, and with a phrase from Hosea. In his responses, we need to see that Jesus is amazing at knowing his audience. Jesus is competent and knowledgeable with the game that the Pharisees are playing. And Jesus sees exactly what they are trying to do and does not back down. Instead, he walks into their home court and plays ball. But instead of just hitting the ball back, he spikes an ace right down the line. The example of David tells of a time when David was doing the will of God while running for his life. The priest Ahimelech, who could have stopped David, was able to understand that he was serving God more by feeding this fleeing David. For the intent of the law is to serve God's people, not for God's people to serve the law. This is a really aggressive return from Jesus after that accusation. It's an illustration that really makes it so that the Pharisees' only way out is to denounce David. And they are not going to do that. To criticize David, they would have a lot more trouble with that than criticizing Jesus. Because David was in a time where God had taken care of him, even though it seemed that he broke laws. Jesus uses the Old Testament, and the Pharisees, they are stuck in their tracks. They have no response. But that is just the first part of the 1-2 punch. Jesus then points out to the teachers of the law that there are some people who are permitted to work on the Sabbath, even encouraged to, and they are not punished. The priests in the temple, they are doing God's work. And how much more so would Jesus have authority to do good work on the Sabbath? This again is illustrated by the second half of our reading, when Jesus is in the temple and heals a man with a shriveled hand. Is it not lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath? To serve God for God's glory? How much more should Jesus and his disciples be considered guiltless when doing the work of God given to them? For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This, another remarkable clarification of his identity and authority. Jesus then goes on, if those reasons weren't enough, to quote a line from Hosea. If you knew what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Jesus' disciples are the innocent ones who deserve mercy from the Pharisees, not condemnation. God, in his great mercy, has given the Sabbath to give his creatures relief from daily burdens, not so that people would perform weekly sacrifices. The disciples were only guilty of breaking the Pharisees' laws. If only the religious leaders would have understood what Sabbath truly was, they would have extended mercy, not demanding more sacrifice. Jesus attacks the very core of the Pharisees' tendency to add burdens to the daily lives of the people. The Messianic Son of God has the authority to give the true interpretation of the law, including the role of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus does not challenge the Sabbath laws itself in the prevailing interpretation, but instead the interpretation of it by the Pharisees. For in itself, the Sabbath is very good. It is great. I would even say that it rules. It is a gift that God has given us. It is not a rule meant to be a burden. It is there to free us. Like all of the intent of Christianity, we don't serve rules, we serve God, who has given us guidance and leading in the law to bring us into closer relationship with Him. That is what Jesus does here. He comes as the right interpretation of the law and to fulfill it so that all people can be in relationship with Him. That's the cornerstone. Because the point of this passage, it's not about the Sabbath. It's about the authority of Jesus and His three authoritative claims that He has here. He is greater than David, greater than the temple, and greater than the Sabbath. So, what does that mean for my weekend, for your weekend? I don't think we get an answer here. No answer of what we should do or should not do on the Sabbath. The passage is all about debating Jesus' authority. The Pharisees wanted an argument about the Sabbath, and Jesus isn't going to debate that. Instead, He gets to the root of why they are looking for a way to accuse Him. But for us today, we know, what we do know, is that God is pro-rest. The Sabbath is good. Rest is good. So the Sabbath serves the needs of the people. People are not meant to serve the needs of the Sabbath. So our rules around the Sabbath need to come from a place that drives us closer to God. Even if that's you wearing your Sunday best as a set-apart, holy part of your Sunday that draws you close to God, that is very good. But if you're doing it just because, then there's something wrong. Because our goal is to have a closer relationship with Jesus. That's what He wants with us. He's the King that is greater than David, the temple, and is Lord of the Sabbath. And the burden of the law has been taken away, for Jesus has the authority over the law, and grace has come in with the journey that Jesus is on towards the cross. Grace undeserved. So the rules that we keep should draw us into the love of Jesus. They are not rules for us to be in favor with God or to look better to others. The actions that we take according to the rules should be on a foundational relationship with Jesus. The Pharisees looked at the nitpicky side of their faith as a way to avoid God's punishment. And God's punishment to the Israelites. But what actions did they take to be in relationship with God? That was lacking. And they saw Jesus as a threat to their own power and to their own interpretation of the law. People of God, Jesus is looking to bring you nearer to Him. And this closeness with God, it permeates into every corner of our Christian walk. Because Jesus and His authority has once again opened up opportunities for us to be close to Him, to be in His kingdom as kingdom citizens. It is God at work through the law, fulfilled by Jesus, that draws us near to Him. Sabbath rest is found in Him. The burden of the law is lifted, and grace moves us into the love of Jesus and helps us to love our neighbors. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You for being the Lord of the Sabbath. and for being the fulfillment of the law, that it would draw us close to you and not condemn us for all eternity. For we need your grace as we look to live a good Christian life, following the best we can to the guidance and leading that you set forth in the Bible and by the Spirit. Bless us and keep us, we pray, as we humble ourselves before you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.